Bedlam with corned beef on the side. The Jewish Delicatessen in Baltimore by Barry Kessler. Then came the invasion of the delicatessen business by Jews, and, presently, the lowly sandwich had been completely transformed and exalted. H. L. Mencken, Baltimore Evening Sun, 1929. The story of the American delicatessen cuts a revealing slice through the world of Jewish food and its regional and personal variations. The history of what Jews eat is a study of the many cultural forces in Jewish life: assimilation and tradition, secularization and religious observance, identity and commercialization. In America, a unique form has emerged: the delicatessen, an ethnic grocery or restaurant, or a combination of both. In the atmosphere and foods of the delicatessen, American Jews enjoy and present their culture as a flourishing folklife, transformed from traditional European roots into a richly textured secular ethnicity. The history of Baltimore's delicatessens, the families and employees who made them, and the foods they served trace a path through the Jewish presence in Baltimore from the turn of the century to the present. Delicatessen means delicacies in German, and Webster's defines the word as prepared cooked meats, smoked fish, cheeses, salads, relishes, etc., or a shop where such foods are sold. Jewish delicatessens began as fancy grocery shops, specializing in importing and preparing foods familiar to recent immigrants, and slowly developed into the range of establishments we know today. The varieties of food which today are considered to be Jewish delicatessen came to America with the Eastern European immigrants who flocked to America in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. From across the Pale of Settlement, ranging from the Baltic coast in the north to Odessa in the south, these immigrants mixed in the Jewish neighborhoods of American cities, bringing their native foodstuffs. Poor Europeans, both Jewish and Gentile, depended upon meat, fish, and vegetables preserved by smoking, pickling, or salting. To create kosher equivalents of some of the pork-based products eaten by their neighbors, Jews used cuts of beef, especially the easily koshered brisket. Corned beef pickled in brine was favored in the northern and central regions, peppery pastrami in the south. Sausages ranged from hard and soft salamis to bolognese to the frankfurter, which originated in Germany. Smoked fish, such as whitefish and lox, salmon, were specialties of the Baltic coastal regions and were exported all over Eastern Europe. But they were expensive delicacies eaten only by the wealthy or on infrequent special occasions. Poor Jews ate herring, a much more abundant fish, schmaltz herring, the cheapest and easiest to obtain, and matjes herring, from Holland. Many delicatessen foods, now eaten year-round, were originally associated with specific life cycle events, holy days, or special occasions. For example, bagels, which appeared in Poland as early as the 1500s, were favored for bris celebrations. Traditional Jewish foods metamorphosed in America under the pressure of new social realities. New foodstuffs became available. Most immigrants relaxed their observance of kosher laws and, as they prospered, could afford more frequent indulgence in luxury foods. All of these forces were at work in the creation of the bagel spread with cream cheese and lox, a prototypical American Jewish edible which would have been unthinkable in Europe. Under the strict interpretation of some Eastern European rabbis, although fish was technically parev, neither meat nor dairy, it was not to be eaten in combination with a dairy product such as cream cheese. Cream cheese itself was a new food immigrants encountered in America for the first time, and largely replaced the looser, saltier, farmer cheese they had eaten in Europe. Lox, while still expensive, was much cheaper in America with its greater supply of salmon, coming within reach of the average family. In Baltimore, Jewish immigrants settled in the small brick row houses of East Baltimore, a neighborhood bounded more or less by the Jones Falls and Patterson Park on the west and east, Orleans Street on the north, and Eastern Avenue on the south. There were also immigrant neighborhoods in West Baltimore and South Baltimore. Other Jewish families were scattered throughout the city, often living above their small grocery, liquor, jewelry, and clothing stores. By the 1920s, Eastern European Jews were migrating to the northwestern parts of Baltimore in significant numbers, and within 40 years, few still resided downtown, although they may have worked or shopped there. The nucleus of the old East Baltimore neighborhood was along Baltimore and Lombard Streets west of Central Avenue, where synagogues, shops, community institutions, and the densest Jewish population were concentrated. Lombard Street was a bustling marketplace. Along its length, stores catering to both Jewish and Gentile trade sold clothing, shoes, and sundries, as well as foodstuffs in teeming variety. Besides a mingling of Italian groceries toward the Jones Falls, virtually every store was owned by an immigrant Jewish family. Baltimore Street had a more residential character, but many of the homes had ground-level shop fronts, especially on the corners. Groceries, bakeries, butchers, confectioners, and dairies sprang up in the neighborhood to supply the immigrant community, preparing, importing, and selling traditional foods, just as in other ethnic communities. Some of the groceries may have called themselves delicatessens, but it was not until 1905 that there was a sufficient number to require a separate business category in the Baltimore City Directory under that heading. 5 delicatessens were listed in that year, 3 of them on East Baltimore Street between Front and Exeter Streets. Harry Kaplan's delicatessen was at 915 East Baltimore Street, Frank Hurwitz's two doors away at number 919, and Harry Goodman's in the next block at 825 East Baltimore Street. Solomon Goldberg was around the corner at 537 Asquith Street. Isaac Bayer's shop at 1802 Division Street was the only delicatessen listed outside of East Baltimore. In preceding years, Solomon Goldberg had been listed as butcher, Harry Goodman as a grocer and under meats, and Frank Hurwitz as a butler and a grocer. Harry R. Kaplan's was the longest-lived of this first crop of delicatessens, remaining in business, although in changed form, from 1897 into the 1960s. After several years in Baltimore as a tailor, Kaplan had appeared under provisions in the city directory as far back as 1898, and in 1904, in the alphabetical section of the directory, his trade was listed as a delicatessen owner. His shop grew and moved around the neighborhood, from 911 to 915 East Baltimore Street, to 910 Watson, to 918 East Lombard, settling in the 1920s at 23 South High Street between Baltimore and Lombard Streets. Kaplan's delicatessen is remembered today especially for the fragrant barrels of pickles and olives, maslines in Yiddish, in front of its counter, and for the high-quality sliced meats that people came to buy on Saturday nights. A 1933 calendar booklet issued in English and Yiddish by the shop claimed that it was the largest firm of its type in America. Advertisements in the booklet for a wide range of groceries promoted brand-name products packaged by Rokliach, Manischewitz, and Goodman & Sons. The shop carried a full line of Carmel brand strictly kosher meats, including tongue, pastrami, and Wonder sausage. The shop sold many products it produced itself, such as Belvedere coffee, roasted and blended by us. 14 varieties of fish were smoked daily by Kaplan, including shad, Kieler Sprotten, Kapchungs, Ribets, and Belritzits. And he also imported fish directly from Scotland and Alaska, packaged by us in our especially equipped factory, and marketed in glass jars under the Gibraltar label. In 1940, Harry Kaplan gave up retailing, turning over his distribution of name-brand groceries to the Joffe Brothers of West Pratt Street. Trading as the Southern Food Corporation at 5 Lloyd Street, he was the regional distributor for the high-grade foods line of delicatessen meats from New York. Harry Saval, founder of what is now the largest distributor of deli meats in Baltimore, worked for him during this time. In 1907, of the 8 delicatessen shops identified by the city directory, 2 were in West Baltimore and 6 in East Baltimore. Harry Kaplan, Harry Goodman, and Frank Hurwitz were joined by Charles Norberg on Central Avenue and Adolf Rothman on Bank Street. Wolf Salganik, a butcher who had been in East Baltimore since at least 1899, was listed as the owner of a delicatessen at 925 East Lombard Street. L. Strauss & Company, near Lexington Market, appeared as a delicatessen only in the alphabetical listing. Given the name and location, this business was probably owned and catered to German Jews. In 1909 to 1910, Baltimore City Directory listed 17 delicatessens, 13 of them in East Baltimore. Harry Kaplan, Harry Goodman, Frank Hurwitz, Herman Buderak, Joseph Edlovich, and the Salganik Meat Products Company were clustered in the 4 adjoining blocks of East Baltimore, Lombard, and High Streets, while Joseph Amdur, Margaret Flum, Philip Resnick, Abram Linder, Ellen Holden, Jacob Volvich, and Callan Lapides ranged further east. Two new delicatessens were located in the growing Jewish area near West North Avenue, and two were near Lexington Market. One of the delicatessen owners in 1909 to 1910 was Kalman Lapides. Lapides, a tailor, had a grocery on a South Baltimore corner in 1900. Perhaps the shop failed, since 2 years later he was again listed as a tailor, now on Little Gough Street in East Baltimore. From 1909 until 1919, he had a delicatessen at 1427 East Baltimore Street, between Eden and Caroline. By 1912, several non-Jewish establishments were among the 14 delicatessens listed in the city directory, including Louis H. Retberg, R. Wellforth and Son, John E. Schanninger, and Max Vodel. Vodel's advertisement described him as a wholesale and retail dealer in German produce. The word delicatessen had expanded beyond the immigrant community and was being applied more generally to fancy groceries. The earliest Baltimore delicatessen for which a full history can be given is that of Harry E. Cohen, who purchased the shop at 1427 East Baltimore Street from Kalman Lapides in 1919. Harry, or Heisha, as his friends called him in Yiddish, came to Baltimore at age 16, about 1906, with his brother Sam. His parents were petty tradespeople who sold various wares and foodstuffs in the village square in the Russian province of Chernigov. Harry first worked at Schloss Brothers as a buttonhole maker and presser. In 1913, he married Sarah Kaplansky, just off the boat from Novozibkov, Russia, and they had three children. By 1919, the Cohens had saved enough money to purchase the little delicatessen. They lived above the shop, and Mrs. Cohen took in boarders and laundry to make ends meet. She also waited on customers and prepared noodle kugel, potato latkes, knishes, and challah for sale. According to his son, most of Cohen's business was takeout, the bagging of a few pennies worth of bread and meat with a dollop of mustard in a paper cone for workingmen's lunches. The meats were corned beef, pickled for 30 days in barrels of brine, as well as rolled spiced beef, roulade, and hard and soft salamis. Other specialties were sauerkraut and pickled onions, cucumbers, and green tomatoes. Cohen claimed in a 1963 reminiscence to have been the first delicatessen in Baltimore to provide a place for people to sit and eat inside the shop. The little wooden bench was soon filled at all times of day with customers who congregated to exchange news over sandwiches and snacks. Many came to discuss, in Yiddish with bits of English, the politics of the Arbeiter Ring, or Workmen's Circle. With Cohen and his friend Harry Turk, the managing editor of the Baltimore office of the Yiddish newspaper, Forvince. Indeed, a photograph of the shop, probably taken in the 1920s, shows the bench and a chair squeezed along one wall, across from a counter, and rows of shelves stacked with provisions, mostly bottled or canned. For a time, Harry Cohen lived in Washington, D.C., but he had the misfortune to select a location on Park and Georgia Avenues where the first self-service giant supermarket was to open. Competition from the discount grocery drove him back to Baltimore, where the Cohens became proprietors of the sanitary delicatessen on North Avenue near Linden. From the 1960s to 1982, the family operated the suburban house restaurant on Reisterstown Road. Harry Cohen's little bench was a transitional stage, presaging the arrival of the full-blown delicatessen restaurant. In Europe, village taverns and restaurants in cities owned by Jews served delicatessen foods, but there was no precedent for the bounteous counter, laden with special groceries, meats, and fish, at which one could buy sandwiches, soups, and whole meals to take out or eat on the premises. Yet this formula would be elaborated with great success as a uniquely American Jewish phenomenon and would take its place as a new type of ethnic restaurant. From the 1920s onward, deli restaurants thrived in Jewish neighborhoods in East Baltimore, around North Avenue, and outward to the northwestern suburbs. Several delis appeared in commercial districts, notably the Globus near the West Side Garment District, Mandel's on Baltimore Street downtown, and Aurak and Pearl near the big Howard Street department stores. By general agreement, Sussman and Lev, Aurak and Pearl, Ballows, Nate's, and Leon's, and Atman's are considered the outstanding names in a throng of memorable institutions, each of which rang a slightly different variation on the theme of sliced meats, smoked fish, hot dogs, sandwiches, and pickles. The delicatessen restaurant got a strong boost with the arrival of supermarkets. These clean, spacious stores with wide selections and low prices forced small groceries of all kinds to adapt or go out of business. For many of those specializing in the delicatessen, the best alternative was to expand upon their incipient function as a restaurant or convert fully to restaurant service while maintaining the old atmosphere. Other social trends were pushing them in the same direction. Jewish families were prospering and could better afford to eat out. They were spreading out around the city, And, as younger Jews had less direct knowledge of European tradition, they were less likely to prepare Jewish specialties at home, but still wanted to participate in these traditions, at least on special occasions. Sussman and Lev's was probably the first full-scale delicatessen restaurant in Baltimore, and one of the longest-lived and best-known. In 1915, Jacob Hyman Sussman became the proprietor of the New York Import Company, which specialized in smoked fish. He lived above his store at 905 East Baltimore Street. Sussman was 23 years old, unmarried, and just naturalized, an immigrant tailor from Svitzlach, a village in the Russian province of Minsk. New York Import had first appeared in the city directory 2 years earlier, under the ownership of Abraham Gelfand, who resurfaced briefly in 1918 as a partner in the company with Jacob Sussman. Sussman's company thrived. In 1922, it was offering imported and domestic herring, smoked fish, canned goods, and delicatessen at 917 East Fayette Street. Jacob H. and Isidore Sussman and Nathan Leo were their proprietors. Both Sussman families lived uptown at 2217 Bryant Avenue. In 1926, Jacob Sussman was secretary treasurer for Nathan Davis & Company, a competing fish seller. Morris Shirless was its vice president. In the same year, however, Sussman went into partnership with Carl Lev, an immigrant from Poland or Russia, via Chile, who had had a delicatessen in New York. They were importers, wholesalers, and retailers of appetizing delicatessen and all kinds of herring, smoked fish, and imported candies at 923 East Baltimore Street. The New York Import Company has been recently taken over by Sussman and Lev, read the letter they sent, to our many customers who have been dealing with us these last 15 years. Photographs of 923 East Baltimore Street around this time reveal the operation of its business. One shows the interior, with two parallel counters, each with scales and slicers, piled high with meats and breads. The walls are lined with canned goods in neat rows. 2 dozen salamis hang from a shelf. Cans of Lord Calvert and Hotel Belvedere coffee compete with boxes of crackers and barrels of pickles with floor space, and a marble-topped table with 4 Brentwood side chairs squeeze into the back. The menu is a framed sign offering appetizing salads, sandwiches, pickles, fish, delicatessen, and soft drinks. In another photograph, the countermen stand at the end of the central aisle while customers are seated at the table, one in a derby hat. In another photograph, the countermen stand at the end of the central aisle while customers are seated at the table, one in a derby hat. Wrapped candies and dried fruit, a slab of halva, and pieces of white fish and salmon lie on the counters in the foreground. Exterior views show a huge vertical lighted sign reading, Delicatessen, and windows full of nuts, packaged products, and smoked fish. Signs in English, Yiddish, and Russian announce all kinds of sandwiches, luncheonette, wholesale, and retail appetizing delicatessen. In 1935, the restaurant expanded, adding an Art Deco-style bar, a ceramic tile floor, and a section of tables and booths. A Viennese baker from New York was brought in to prepare delicious rolls, pie, cakes, and pastries. 1939 brought air conditioning and a catering hall upstairs, which could be rented for bar mitzvah luncheons and other small receptions. A menu from this era shows that the restaurant served an enormous variety of dishes. Sandwiches ranged from lox and cream cheese to a Broadway special, combination of tongue, spiced beef, corned beef, salami, sweet gherkins, and lettuce. One could dine on cold schlav with hare egg, broiled veal steak with fresh mushrooms, and pie, washed down with a beer, almond smash soda, or buttermilk. Sussman and Lev's remained a favorite of Jews who worked in East Baltimore long after the neighborhood's ethnic makeup had changed. It went out of business in about 1951. The variety of combination sandwiches offered by Sussman and Lev, not untypical of delicatessen fare of the 1920s, represented the innovations of a generation of immigrant sandwich makers. As H.L. Mencken put it, the Jewish mind was too restless and enterprising to be content with the old repertoire. It reached out for the novel, the dramatic, the unprecedented, as it does in all the arts. It boldly struck out into the highest fields of fancy, and presently the lowly sandwich has been completely transformed and exalted. Besides raw materials from the Eastern European larder, delicatessens drew upon a vast variety of new American foodstuffs, with little regard for kashrut. By experimentation and evolution, a host of new sandwiches entered American cuisine through the delicatessen. Many of these innovations came from New York, with its vibrant Jewish culture, or spread rapidly to other cities, including Baltimore. Others were invented here, two of the most notable by Nathan Ballow. Nathan Ballow's two claims to fame were the Easterwood Special, a half loaf of rye bread filled with bologna and a little mustard, named after the nearby parklet where the neighborhood boys played ball, and the hot dog and bologna combination. During the Depression, many families made dinner out of the Easterwood Special, which sold for 10 cents. Many remembered Ballow giving an Easterwood Special to the beggars, always with the reminder that the recipient owned 10 cents for it, to ease the shame of accepting charity. Nathan Ballow's hot dog and bologna combination entered the world of the Baltimore delicatessen by the mid-1930s. Joe Mandel, Ballow's son-in-law, remembered how it happened. In the morning, the counterman would cut off a few slices of bologna to make the end look fresh, and once someone threw some of the slices on the griddle with some hot dogs and tried the combination, it was an enormous success, copied by every delicatessen in the city and remembered by most of their patrons. It remains a deli staple to this day. Nathan Ballow was an immigrant from Kiev who had worked as a cutter and tailor in East Baltimore for a few years after arriving in America about 1919. Known as a real go-getter, he opened a stork, or little grocery, about 1925 at 2115 West North Avenue, in an area to which Eastern European Jewish families were beginning to move in considerable numbers. By the late 1920s, his grocery had become a restaurant where neighborhood people enjoyed delicatessen without going downtown. It had become one of the focal points of the community. Ballow's attracted an almost exclusively Jewish clientele, advertising only on a Sunday afternoon radio program called Der Yiddish Radio Shunte. The noise, shouting, and tumult was wonderful to behold, with at least half the people speaking Yiddish, remembered Ballow's nephew years later. It was a creative Jewish atmosphere. Contributing to the ambiance were the smells of barrels of schmaltz herring, spices from the vats of meats cooking in the basement, and hot dogs and bologna on the grill. Herring was such a big seller that Ballow erected a huge sign reading, "Headquarters for Good Luck Herring." The busiest day was Saturday, despite the objections of several shuls nearby. Nathan and his wife Sophie belonged to Har Zion, the largest Orthodox synagogue uptown, and kept kosher themselves. At some point during the 1930s, however, a mashliach detected a problem with the kashrut of the food served, and following an embarrassing announcement in the shul, Ballow had to admit his place was not strictly kosher, but kosher style. In 1956, with the Jewish community moving further northwest, Ballow went into partnership with his son-in-law, Joe Mandel, far uptown in a shopping center at Reisterstown Road and Rogers Avenue. Mandel, son of an immigrant from Kovno, had left Polytechnic High School about 1928 at age 17 to make sandwiches at Boris Katz's well-known deli on East Baltimore Street. When Katz sold his deli to Mandel, he teamed up with Morris Shirless to buy out Nathan Davis's smokehouse, and Shirless and Katz supplied Baltimore delicatessens with most of their smoked fish for several decades. In 1940, Mandel opened a deli in the downtown business district, open 24 hours a day, which he described as a modern restaurant, delicatessen, and fountain. His stepmother, Jenny Wahlberg, did all the cooking, and her roast brisket, soups, and kotlinen, meatballs, attracted crowds greater than we had hoped, greater than our initial facilities could satisfy. All Rock and Pearl's Delicatessen was located on Howard Street in Baltimore's retail shopping district, where many Jewish people worked in the numerous clothing and department stores. Advertising itself as a luncheonette, delicatessen, soda fountain, and cocktail lounge, it attracted a mixed clientele. Many non-Jews came, including ladies on shopping trips and youngsters headed for the movies. The delicatessen carried on a madhouse luncheon trade, especially on Saturday, when the upstairs room became a gathering place for teenagers. All Rock and Pearl was also frequented by H.L. Mencken and other well-known Baltimoreans. The owners were two immigrant families from Odessa, successful fruit merchants. They had worked their way up from a pushcart selling bananas on the Lower East Side of New York to a thriving deli in Washington, D.C., before moving to Baltimore around 1920. Related by marriage, the families lived together in suburban Forest Park. They belonged to an Orthodox congregation and ate kosher food themselves, although the restaurant was open on Jewish holidays and the menu included bacon, ham, and shrimp salad. The Pearls' two sons and the Allrocks' two daughters helped out on Saturdays. The family spoke Yiddish among themselves and broken English with customers, their personalities constituting a chief attraction of the establishment. Bright and noisy, All Rock and Pearl was a quintessentially Jewish delicatessen, with well-stocked counters piled high with delicious and appetizing foodstuffs. A long counter for making sandwiches ran along one side. A surviving menu from the early 1940s lists 16 omelets, 47 sandwiches, ice cream confections, steaks and chops, and a wide variety of beverages, ranging from limeade to whiskey. Eastern European dishes such as schmaltz herring, chopped liver, rolled beef, and tongue joined American-style offerings as lamb chops, a bacon-lettuce-tomato sandwich, and poached eggs. Its general appearance somewhat fancier than the average delicatessen, with a light green color scheme and a black and rust tile floor, Auroch & Pearl cultivated a cosmopolitan but casually familiar atmosphere. Max Auroch sat at the cash register near the door, greeting customers. Leaving, customers paid according to orange tickets punched by the waitresses to indicate the cost of each item. Over the din, one could hear Mrs. Pearl, who supervised the upstairs room, calling out, "One up!" signaling the most popular order, a hot dog and Coke. The restaurant was reportedly the largest purchaser of hot dogs in Baltimore. Nate's and Leon's is still legendary in Baltimore. For 32 years, from 1935 to 1967, Nate's Herr and Leon Shavitz ran one of Baltimore's most popular eateries, open around the clock, a meeting ground for the rich and poor, the famous and would-be famous, the old and the young, everyone from bookmakers to judges and debutantes. Centrally located at 850 West North Avenue, Nate's and Leon's attracted a wealthier and more diverse crowd than the neighborhood-oriented Ballows, further west on the same street. It had a mix of politicians, sports figures, rabbis from reformed temples, department store owners, young couples leaving movie palaces nearby, and performers starring at Pennsylvania Avenue nightclubs and downtown theaters. About a third of the clientele was not Jewish, many of them having been first brought by Jewish acquaintances. All rubbed shoulders in a high-spirited camaraderie engendered by the late hours, Leon Shavitz's extroverted enthusiasm, and mountains of delicious food. Nights were a social field day of table-hopping, wide-ranging gossip, seeing and being seen, and getting on in a good football pool. The layout was familiar. Shelves filled with cans of soup, jars of olives, and boxes of crackers, among other specialty groceries, lined one wall, in front of which was a long counter, partly refrigerated, containing the meats, cheeses, smoked fish, and prepared salads. Breads and pastries were piled above, pickle barrels jostled in front. Countermen, including both Nate's and Leon at times, worked behind it, waiting on the carryout trade, slicing meats, cooking on the grill, and constructing sandwiches of mind-boggling complexity at dizzying speed. Waitresses, both Jewish and Gentile, worked the booths in the white formica tables. They made good tips. Aficionados still rhapsodize about Nate's and Leon's food. The pastries, strawberry cake, Napoleons, and eclairs, were made by Nate's and Leon's German chef, Henry Hofches, brought down from New York. Baltimoreans remember the incredible chicken salad, the luscious chopped liver, and the number 3 combination sandwich of corned beef, coleslaw, lettuce, and Russian dressing. A series of menus dating from the mid-1930s to the restaurant's move away from the North Avenue to the Pimlico Hotel in 1950 reveals a progression of combination sandwiches from the original 14, based on corned beef, lox, and sturgeon, to 120 elaborate confections incorporating turkey, tongue, Bermuda onion, tuna salad, sardines, chopped liver, bacon, and hard-boiled egg. Atman's Delicatessen is the longest survivor of the East Baltimore delis, still busy on Lombard Street, where it is now one of the few reminders of the community which once thrived there. It remains in the family, although the Atmans have prospered and now hold extensive real estate and other business interests. Yet it was one of the most recent delis to convert from a takeout grocery to a sit-down restaurant. Harry Atman came to Baltimore about 1920, an immigrant from a village near Kiev, who had learned the grocery trade in Providence, Rhode Island. He was the oldest child of a large family, the first to immigrate. He brought the others over, including the parents, one at a time. He and his wife, Ida, from Poland, purchased a small grocery at 2000 East Baltimore Street. They continued to live there even after 1933, when they acquired the beginnings of today's deli, a small grocery store at 1019 East Lombard Street owned by Nathan and Elsie Weinstein. They bought out their partner in the purchase, Lipchitz, by 1940, but continued to call the place A&L Cut Rate Grocery Company for several years. Meanwhile, Harry's brother Joseph and his brother-in-law Moritz Seffret purchased the Atlantic Import Company, only one block down Lombard Street, from Philip and Pincus Cohen. Abraham, Anna, Joseph, and Shmar Atman were earning their livings at Atlantic Import in 1937. Photographs and price lists from the 1930s show Harry Atman's carrying on a bustling trade in Jewish food specialties, especially at Passover. Mail orders from customers and retail groceries far and wide formed a large component of the business. Besides packaged matzah and other kosher for Passover products, Atman's offered coffees, teas, nuts, dried fruit, spices, herring, and delicatessen meats. The store cured its own pickles, raw vegetables came from the marsh market near the Fallsway at a quarter a barrel, and McCormick & Co. and Baltimore Spice ground loads of garlic to a special coarse blend for its use. The nature of the business changed dramatically during the 1940s, as the Jewish community moved away from East Baltimore and supermarkets drew away price-conscious grocery shoppers. Harry Atman and his son Seymour, who increasingly helped with the business, focused more on sliced meats and the luncheon trade of hot dogs and sandwiches. Although Harry and Ida were religious people and kept a kosher home, the corned beef and tongue sold at Atman's came from non-kosher sources, and the delicatessen never presented itself as kosher. Indeed, although during the war years the local rabbis successfully enforced the observance of Sabbath, afterwards, Atman's and other shops on Lombard Street defied their authority and opened on Saturdays. After the war, Atman's proudly promoted the slogan, Home of 50 Sandwiches. Leaning up against a counter in the narrow, crowded shop, patrons could eat sandwich combinations Harry and Seymour Atman invented or borrowed from famous uptown delis such as Nate's and Leon's and Ballow's or the Carnegie Deli in New York. 5 years after his father's death in 1968, Seymour Atman opened the Kibitz Room, decorated with posters and old photographs, and customers carried their sandwiches over on plastic trays. Since then, the clientele has become increasingly non-Jewish, now ranging up to 65% during luncheon hours. More than 200 delicatessens are listed in today's Yellow Pages, some of them direct or indirect descendants of specialty grocery stores established by Jewish immigrants from Eastern Europe in Baltimore decades ago, others related to them only by association, real or intended, with the concept of a lively, aromatic, ethnic sandwich shop. The remarkable personalities of the great delicatessens and the flavors of their foodstuffs constitute a uniquely American Jewish heritage that has enriched Baltimore as a whole.